Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:15 and no on show number 968. Hey, let's remember show number 968. Let's mark it. Let's keep track of show number 968. Because yesterday was different. I don't come in here wanting to start with a 20-minute Trump rant. I don't enjoy it. So I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like there's anything more we need to learn. Everything you saw yesterday is exactly who Donald Trump is, and that's all you need to know. So now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have said almost nothing. Mitch McConnell has said nothing. Paul Ryan has done a sort of a generic tweet saying that, hey, can't talk like that. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have said nothing. They're the Democratic leaders in Congress. Remember Congress? One-third of the equation here.
Yeah.
You don't expect anybody in the administration to say anything specifically, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody resigned today.
Oh, completely.
I certainly hope it's not General John Kelly.
You mean someone in the administration, to be clear, not another CEO or someone in the
White House.
Yeah.
The president, and we'll play some sound for you because it's part of the responsibility of the job, but we'll play some sound for you from yesterday's bizarre, unhinged, to use a word from the campaign, delusionally dangerous, impromptu ad-lib press conference by the president of the United States, who's more than just an embarrassment. He's a danger to this country, and he has to go.
If you get
trending
a chance.
On Twitter this morning, hashtag impeach Trump. Is number one. And when I heard, you know how we're always talking about he needs to have a press conference, blah, blah, blah. When he did that yesterday, literally what was the first thing that went through your mind? I thought, oh, no.
You mean from the back to the February thing?
No, from yesterday, yeah. Because I thought, because we've been saying for months, he needs to have another press conference, get out there. It's been since February. And when yesterday he started taking those questions and it was the press conference, I was watching it, I literally thought, oh, no.
You feel like you're in a car that suddenly you realize there's no brakes. You feel like, it's a situation that is going to get worse every minute. And it turns out it does. The staff and his people around him, he doesn't listen to them. Mm-mm. He has no interest in doing the right thing. He has no interest in the job. And frankly, he has no interest in other human beings, including apparently his own family. Yesterday, one of the more striking moments is a very subtle moment, but it goes to the lack of character that Donald Trump has and the lack of heart that he has. When he referenced the mother of Heather Heyer without saying Heather Heyer's name, Heather Heyer, for those of you not aware, is a woman that was mowed down by a Nazi driver with a car. Do we have the clip? Go ahead, roll this.
So I don't want to rush into a statement. So making the statement when I made it was excellent. In fact, the young woman, who I hear is a fantastic young woman, and it was on NBC, her mother wrote me and said through, I guess, Twitter, social media, the nicest things, and I very much appreciated that. I hear she was a fine, really actually an incredible young woman, but her mother on Twitter thanked me for what I said. And honestly, if the press were not fake, and if it was honest, the press would have said what I said was very nice.
That's not about a woman who lost her daughter. That's not about the daughter who he doesn't even know the name of. That's not about the fact that as president of the United States, he hadn't called the mother to express condolences, which is what a president does. That's about Donald Trump looking for a pat on the back because the mother said something about comfort from Trump based on the words he said on Monday. He is beyond not worthy of the position, the privilege, and the job. And I think as a taxpaying American, as you all are as well, you have to now demand that leadership do the right thing. I don't care if you voted for him or not. He's got to go. He's got to go. Charles Krauthammer is one of the more respected conservative voices in the country. I'm going to read you something he wrote yesterday and also said on Fox News.
I like some of his columns, too.
Yeah. Very good. You know, he is not the lunatic far right of Sean Hannity or the lunatic far left of Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that firmly believes in conservative views, and he had some things to say about this president as well. But you got to demand. You've got to demand that the leadership of this country steps up and saves this country from the... Imagine this. This country needs to be saved from the president of the United States. If you pitched it as an episode of 24, you'd never work in Hollywood again.
And the notion that some of those KKK members and neo-Nazis and white supremacists are fine people is how he described it. I mean, 400,000 Americans died fighting Nazis.
And 600,000 Americans killed each other in the Civil War. Because he spent a large amount of time getting the history of the Civil War wrong as well.
Right.
It's well known that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, flawed men in their time, owned slaves. Mm-hmm. It's also well known that George Washington saved the country and that Thomas Jefferson wrote the document that allowed for free speech, that allowed the Nazis and the KKK to march in Charlottesville. So to lump him in with Stonewall Jackson and with Robert E. Lee is beyond stupid. And I'm sorry, the president is a stupid, stupid man.
Also, too, Steve, what is stupid, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday, is continuously destroying property. I understand there are certain things that are representative of perhaps a different time or whatnot, but when they were pulling that Robert E. Lee statue down the other day, there was a little girl about 5 feet from it. And the woman who climbed on top, she's a college student. She's being charged with 2 misdemeanors and 2 felonies. But when you start destroying property and pulling things down, that, again, it's criminal damage to property.
Well, you don't need to.
Don't add to the problem.
Wherever the country goes from here all needs to be centered around one topic. It's not one of the motivations of Donald Trump. It's why is he the president of the United States, and why hasn't he already been removed from office? And that's where we are. An impeachment is a long, drawn-out, painful process. If he had any semblance of doing the right thing, he'd resign today. I firmly believe he knows he's not up to the job. His insecurities are evident every day. He's a psychological mess. He's a steaming dumpster fire of a mess. So go back to New York, man. Go back to New York, you know, buy buildings, sell buildings, do your real estate thing. It just didn't work out. It's time for you to go. The longest 6 months in this country's life and in anybody's memory. It just can't go on. All right, top 6 at 6 in a moment. Well, that takes care of one of them, at least for now. And let's get traffic from Mary.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
I'll save the Charles Krauthammer piece for the end here. White nationalist David Duke is now a big Trump supporter again. David Duke tweeted out, "Thank you, President Trump, for your honesty and courage to tell the truth about Charlottesville and condemn the leftist terrorists in BLM and Antifa." BLM is Black Lives Matter, and Antifa is anti-fascist. The fact that the president of the United States has not commented and spoken out about the former Grand Wizard of the KKK supporting him to step up and say, "I do not welcome this. Do never tweet about me again. I want nothing to do with you again." What else do you need to know? Next. Illinois House now has about 2 weeks to overturn the governor's veto. The House is scheduled to be in session today on Governor's Day at the State Fair to hold a hearing on education funding. It's unclear if they'll take up the veto or wait until more pressure builds. It's also unclear if Mike Madigan will be on today's show.
It's unclear?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to keep an open mind about Madigan. You know me, I'm Mr. Open-Minded when it comes to Mike Madigan. This is show number 968. He's been invited on each of the shows. Have we heard anything? Seems quiet. Well, you know, when you hear the cricket, seventh caller is a big winner in the Mike Madigan game at 312-981-7200. More pressure will build. More parents and teachers and kids will have to wonder about their future and their school. Thank you, Springfield, for being the massive failure you continue to be. And thank you, Mike Madigan, for continuing to stay in hiding instead of being a man and manning up and defending the poor choices you've made to keep your own power as opposed to doing what's right for the state of Illinois. Next. Illinois House Republicans introduced Tuesday a bill that would repeal the Cook County sugar beverage tax. During a press conference in Chicago, the state lawmaker said the tax had already hurt Cook County retailers. Overwhelming negative feedback has come both from store owners and shoppers as well. It's House Bill 4082 and would prevent any home rule county from imposing a tax on sweetened beverages. This is going to go, right?
I think it absolutely is. I got a text yesterday from another friend of mine who actually works for the city. She sent me a picture. She bought a bottle of Perrier, which is just bubbly, plain water, no sugar. I think it was $1.59 or something, and they added in there the 20-cent Cook County sugar tax for a no-sugar drink. She went up to the counter, explained what had happened. He said, I'm sorry, we're still dealing with all the fallout from this. So these store owners, many of their registers and their receipts are programmed to add this. They have to reprogram. They have to go through everything. It's an absolute nightmare. And honestly, Steve, I see it going away.
It's got to go away. And by the way, don't yell at people who are checking you out. It's idiot. I saw somebody at a store a couple of days ago doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, just going, well, you can't charge me 25 cents or whatever the number was. First off, I'm behind you. I have things to do.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's not the person on the register's fault. They're just doing their job.
Right.
They're not even paying attention to what you're buying. They're just scanning the item. If you want to talk to the manager, talk to the manager. Get out of line to do it.
This is a great way to do it, though, at the state level, preventing any home rule county from imposing a tax on sweetened beverage based on the volume sold. So this is a very good way to do this.
And by the way, have your credit card out. They are going to charge you when you go through the line. Don't reach for your wallet, and it takes everybody.
Yeah, and get off your phone.
Yes.
Get off your phone when you're checking out of a store.
Get off our lawn.
Last week, we passed along the hint that two Chicago restaurants will make Bon Appetit's Hot 10, America's Best New Restaurants of 2017. Here they are. Giant. It's a quirky Logan Square restaurant. I don't know anything about it.
I've not been there.
They have just giant food portions. It's like a Flintstones rack of ribs on top of your car. And Elski. Elski, E-L-S-K-E. It's a mashup of contemporary American cuisine and Danish hospitality. Well, Vanderbilt, you should have gone to this by now. It's a Danish restaurant.
What was the name of it?
Elski. E-L-S-K-E. It's a mashup of contemporary American cuisine and Danish hospitality.
I'm not Danish. I'm Belgian.
Oh, I thought you were Danish.
No.
All right. Well, then I withdraw my question. Elski, by the way, was number two and Giant was six. And finally, Costco Costco is going to have to pay Tiffany almost $20 million for advertising knockoff rings.
Oops.
Listen, if you went to Costco and you thought you were buying Tiffany,
right?
I can't help you. I can't help you.
I'll take a bulk of those engagement rings.
What is the conversation like with your fiance or wife when you tell her? Because this has been going on since like 2013.
Well, if you went to Costco and you intentionally bought this and tried to pawn it off to her as a Tiffany ring, well, right. Then you deserve whatever you get, cheapskate.
I don't want to air dirty laundry here, but Andrea yesterday was like, Costco's got the nicest stuff ever.
I like Costco.
Okay, but that's not Tiffany's.
Oh, but I like Tiffany, too. Let's be clear.
If you want to truly be overcharged for the finest in jewelry, go to Tiffany.
Yeah. I second that. But yeah. Hey, that little blue box makes a statement.
All right, here's the Charles.
It does.
Here's the Charles Krauthammer thing. Charles Krauthammer, again, for those of you who don't know, he's a Fox News regular and a conservative columnist that's held in high regard. I don't agree with everything he says. I agree with a lot of what he says. Here's what Charles Krauthammer said yesterday. And again, this is somebody who you would expect to be on the president's side. To critique what Trump did today on the grounds that it distracts from the agenda or it was a tactical mistake is nothing but a cop-out. What Trump did today was a moral disgrace. What he did is reverted back to where he was on Saturday and made it very clear that what he read on Monday was nothing more than a hostage tape. The reason it's a moral disgrace is this. This generation, for the last 50 or 60 years, understood there was something unique about the history of slavery and racism in this country, that we had to cure the original sin, because it was followed by 100 years of state-sponsored oppression. What Trump is missing here is the uniqueness of white supremacy, KKK, and Nazism. This was instigated, instituted, and the ride began over a Nazi riot, a Nazi rally, and the only killing here occurred by one of the pro-Nazi, pro-KKK people. Again, that's from one of the most respected conservative voices in the country. He's got to go. Not Krauthammer, Trump. 633 News next, 720 WGN. And the top 6 at 6 is sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men.
Hi,
please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti, attorney at law. On Sunday night, she's on the Noonan Show. What time is that?
From 8 to 9.
How are you?
Answering legal questions. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing fine. I want to read this one text, a flood of texts that are just appalled by the president of the United States, or the man currently playing the role of president of the United States. But there are some negative texts here as well, as you would guess. And here's one. You did have two fronts and questionable law enforcement at the event in Virginia. If media wants to pick and choose because they hate Trump, then don't call what you do journalism. Racism has never been cured on earth. For the establishment to pretend like it ends and begins with Trump's presidency is to insult everything that came before him. Anti-protesters have been bought and paid for. Treat people like they do have some semblance of intelligence. Texter, I have no questions. You have intelligence, but your views are completely wrong. The president of the United States has a responsibility to stand up to what this country represents and what this country doesn't. And this country does not represent or endorse. It constitutionally allows for protests, but it doesn't represent or endorse the bigotry that the KKK and Nazis and other groups of the alt-right continue to spew. It doesn't happen. It can't be allowed, and you have to expect more from the president. But thank you for texting. All right, Karen, now on to the law. Let's go to the governor's other business outside of what's happened in Springfield or what doesn't happen in Springfield. There were some important things that got acted on this week.
Yeah, the governor basically took away all of the statutes of limitations for sex crimes for juveniles. It used to be that someone who was abused had 20 years after turning 18 to bring those charges, or the government had that much time in the statute of limitations. But now there are no statute of limitations for child porn, solicitation of a juvenile prostitute, criminal sexual assault, all the bad crimes. So now we're going to have that opened up, which I think is a good thing. And this is, you know, maybe provoked by the Denny Hastert situation, the Bill Cosby situation. Certainly the priest abuse scandal prompted some of this as well. But several states have the same type of scheme here. And this should open up for other victims to come forward, hopefully.
And abuse victims that I've known in the past or encountered through charitable work and things of that nature. Along with obvious news stories that come along and certainly all the victims that you've dealt with, there could be vast swaths of time that are blocked from your memory. The trauma, your brain protects you in a way to try to forget
right.
The horrible things that happened. And if those memories show up later, they ought to be able to be criminally dealt with if, in fact, they can be proven.
There are just so many reasons why juveniles don't come forward. I mean, parents may not be believing. You know, it could be that a lot of the victims were under the influence of alcohol or drugs that were given to them by the perpetrators. So the police may not even believe them, even if they came forward. They're ashamed. They don't really understand what happened. And many of them are depressed for years after this and have issues relating to it that prevent them from coming forward. So I think this is a good thing, but don't get me wrong. I still think this is going to be a difficult situation for the victims because it's hard to prosecute a crime that's old. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're prosecuting something that happened 20, 30 years ago, you know, the victims are dead. There's no DNA. It was a one-on-one crime, probably no witnesses, memories fade. So these things are still going to be very difficult to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
And that goes to the basic structure and architecture of the law and what an attorney has to do, right? The longer the time goes on, the harder it is to get it done.
That's absolutely true.
Okay. The president retweeted a Fox News story in the midst of all the other stuff going on, saying he was seriously considering pardoning former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You know, I don't know if you know Sheriff Joe. He's not a big fan of the Mexicans. He's a controversial figure who was recently convicted of criminal contempt by a federal judge. All right, I don't specifically know the background of what he was charged with, but this is a guy who was a long-term sheriff who had this unique punishment thing that he was doing. Didn't he make the inmates dress up in pink and live in tents or something?
Yeah, he did that. But this has to do with basically just stopping people on the street who they suspected of being an illegal. So if you looked Mexican, essentially, he told his officers to go out and detain them and ask for proof of their residency and their status. So that he was told not to do that. There are laws that say you can't just randomly profile people based on the way they look. And he continued to do it. And he continued to do it after he was told several times not to do it. So this was a federal court case. He was held in contempt, which means he was held, found guilty of knowingly violating a court order. And he will be sentenced in October for that. And he can get up to 6 months in jail.
So can the president pardon anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place, Karen? And does anybody else have powers?
Yeah, well,
a little?
No, he has to have a special pardoning hat. The Make America Great hat has to be on. And there's
I'm not going to talk about what the hat looks like.
Right. Right.
What are the rules?
Well, the rule is this: the Constitution provides that the president has the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. So a lot of people think that the president can pardon any crime, but it has to be a federal crime. So that, for instance, if it was a state crime, you know, that would be different. Blagojevich, yes, you could pardon him because that was a federal prosecution. But if it's something that is solely a state crime, the governor of the state would have to do that pardon. So, President Trump could actually pardon Arpaio, and I personally would think this would be a bad time for him to do that, given
I don't think he cares.
Yeah. You know, pardons are just not popular, and that's why the president usually waits until the last days of his tenure to do it, because no one likes to see someone, you know, they violated the law, the government prosecuted them, they're guilty, and they're serving time, or they're doing their punishment, and no one likes to see that happen. So it would be an unusual thing for him to do it right in the middle of his term. But he is free to do it, and he has all the power and authority to do that.
What about commutations?
Same thing. You know, there's different parts of pardon. Pardon is a full reprieve, meaning it never happened. You never had a prosecution. You never had a conviction. A commutation is really just changing the sentence. So, like, for instance, if he decided I would commute the sentence of Rod Blagojevich, which means, you know, you still have that felony on your record. You still have that conviction, but I'm just going to shorten your sentence and let you out tomorrow. That would be a commutation. Yeah.
Uber has had, for a company with all the money of Uber and all the value attached to Uber and the imprint they've made in such a short period of time, they sure have been having some troubles. And now they've agreed to 20 years of privacy audits because the FTC says it failed consumers. They got a new CEO that's got to come in. So Uber's a hot mess in a lot of ways. Maybe grew too big too fast with the wrong people at the top. But what is this FTC move?
Well, the FTC regulates these companies, and we're seeing more and more that there are all these privacy breaches. And apparently Uber had a problem before where certain employees were actually able to monitor not only the drivers but the users, and they were using it to their own benefit, you know, whether it was just getting their jollies watching where everyone's going or to do it for some sort of profit. They were warned, you know, you got to have some security implementation here, and they didn't do it. So the FTC said, you know, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. You misrepresented to consumers that there was privacy in place. There wasn't privacy in place, and we're going to fine you. So, you know, and you're right. Maybe it's because this company grew too fast, but the FTC seemed to think that they didn't even try to make some of this stuff private. You know, in day and age of privacy breaches, you know, these things are very important.
100,000 names and driver's license numbers stolen and part of the problem here?
Yeah, that's a serious, serious problem.
Yeah, because your driver's license, as we know, is a key that opens a lock to all your other IDs.
That's right.
Karen, as long as we're on the subject of Uber, I just have a quick question. Yesterday there was an incident. I know there's price surging. I know for rush hour and for certain times and concerts and things. And Uber and Lyft and all the ride-sharing services are very open and upfront about that. Yesterday there was a situation, a police situation. There was a body on the Fullerton tracks. People were just outraged because they were calling Uber. They couldn't use public transportation, and there was price surging. And now people are saying, "Oh, we're going to sue." There's no case. I think people were being charged like $100 just to go a couple of blocks or a couple of miles, maybe. They have no justification for doing that as far as counter suing to try and get that money back, right?
Well, you know, it all depends on what the contract says. What did you sign up for? Are they allowed to do it pursuant to their written agreement? And so even if Uber allows that kind of surge in a case like that, there's probably still some sort of limit that's what's reasonable and unconscionable. So, you know, I think they're still going to be held to the standard of, yeah, we agree that you can surge on certain times, but it still has to be, I mean, two blocks for $100, that goes beyond the pale of what could possibly be contemplated. So then I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see some of those lawsuits if we haven't seen them already.
Yeah, and I guess I would say this. It's not easy to just go out and hire a lawyer and get involved in a lawsuit
right. Where
damages are limited. So here's a crazy idea. Don't use Uber anymore. You know, just stop using the service.
Well, right. And, you know, people don't like class actions because they think that consumers get nothing and the lawyers get everything. But what happens in the class action suits is it allows people who have a small amount of damages, like $100 or $50, to be part of a class action and to change the consumer climate. You know,
right.
I think that when you have these class actions and, the Ubers of the world will say it's just not worth it to do this anymore because we don't want to have to defend these cases. They're bad for our publicity. They're bad for our pocketbooks. We may have to pay out money. We don't want to deal with these things. So now we're going to be maybe a little bit more fair, you know. So, you know, I'm a fan. I'm a fan because it's a way to change the like I said, the climate to make it more consumer friendly.
You're a fan of Uber or of class action suits?
No, I'm not a fan of Uber. I never use Uber.
You're a fan of the class action suits as something that could be used for good, not evil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see goofy class actions, and I'm not a fan of that. But if it's going to do something to empower the consumers by virtue of the pocketbooks and the court system, I think it's a good use of time and money.
I think it'd be a good part of this feature when we talk to you once a week, you do your favorite lawyer joke. just pull one of the 12 million lawyer jokes off the internet and have it ready to go. Just make sure it's a shorty.
I'll do that next time. I'll go through my directory of funny lawyer jokes, which really aren't very funny.
Oh, they're funny to us. Karen Conti, Sunday nights with Brian Noonan. And where can we find you when you're working in your office?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Back with more of the Steve Cochran Show next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
I think we need to mix this up. We got a new money song we can use for Elise next time, Mike? Just spend all your time over the next few days trying to find the right money song. Oh, you know a song I heard yesterday, which I love and I haven't heard in a long time, and they don't write them like this anymore. EU debut.
Doing debut. Yeah, remember that.
Sexy. All right, it's this academic level of thinking we bring to the financial segment of the program with Elise Kling joining us now. You remember debut? What a good song that was.
Yes. That would be a great theme song for me. Right.
Ain't nothing wrong if you want to do debut all night long. They don't write them like that anymore.
They don't. It's too bad because we could really use the break.
Oh, boy. Did you watch that travesty yesterday?
I couldn't. It was just like I couldn't turn away from it. I was watching it. We've kept flipping around.
Driving by a car accident.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right. So here's my question. And I think this is important for anybody that's in the market. And that's everybody, even if you don't think you are. In fact, you are. Should we be concerned about where this is clearly trending for the sake of saving America? This guy's got to go. If he goes, will there still be confidence in a Mike Pence presidency? And by the way, if you're just waking up and hearing this, you didn't miss anything in the news. It hasn't happened yet. If he goes and Pence were to be in the White House, would the deregulation thrust that's propelled Wall Street to these numbers continue?
Yes, that's the short answer, because the Republican extreme right, which Mike Pence is kind of a standard bearer for, believes in complete deregulation, even as some of the Fed governors said last night and today that we should be very concerned about some of the banking deregulation that's not only being proposed, but is already being enacted.
And what's an example of that someone simple like me could understand?
I don't know that it's simple at all, but they're starting to peel back layers.
Did you notice how Elise didn't even try to go, you're not simple?
No, she thought it.
Anyway, go ahead.
They're trying to peel back layers in ways that banks buy other banks, in the kinds of disclosures that banks do, the ability for banks to trade certain kinds of instruments or get involved in other ways with each other that are actually not even transparent to anybody who's not looking for it. So
basically peeling back everything that came out of 2007-2008, setting us up for a potential 2007-2008?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. It's entirely possible that we're going to see, first of all, we were already overdue for some sort of stock market rollback, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't had a 20% devaluation in the stock market in a really long time, like since the Great Recession in 2009 when we hit the bottom in March. And so we've just been on this incredible climb. And unfortunately, that it's just not sustainable given the fundamentals that are out there. We also saw this week that mortgage interest rates have moved now to the lowest place that they have been since the Great Recession. So since 2007, we saw a 30-year fixed somewhere around 3.6 for 30 years. That is an incredible number. If you'll remember, at the beginning of the year and the beginning of last year, all the mortgage experts, the housing economists, were saying this was the year, 2017 is the year that we were going to go to 4.5-5% for a 30-year fixed, and we are a full 1.5 points below that. And still, the number of people buying houses, extremely low.
Is that cause for concern, though? Because I know the pendulum always swings both ways, Elise. I mean, can we expect later in the year? Or is everything just right now up in the air because of our daily news cycle and what we can expect out of Washington?
Well, I don't know what we can expect out of Washington, Andrea, but I do.
No one does now.
No. And the uncertainty is, I think, what's frightening to a lot of people.
Well, they are talking. Okay, so first, your question about the reason that we're not seeing this huge number of people buying houses with interest rates this low is there's simply nothing for them to buy. People are staying in their houses 2 to 2.5 times longer than they did in the last 25 years. So people are staying put. They're renovating their houses instead of selling. That means there's fewer houses to buy. So there's pent-up demand from the Great Recession. Prices are zooming. If you look at, there are some reports that are going to come out later this week that I think will show the amount of home equity people have has dramatically increased. There are a lot of people who are just sitting in houses worth a whole lot of money, but they're not doing cash-out refis. And you would also expect that, but we're not seeing that now. And so in terms of where we're going with the housing market, great time to refinance. If anybody has had their head in the sand, and even if you haven't, this still might be a great time to refinance. But buying a house is really tricky.
If there's a volume problem, shouldn't there be new construction?
So there should be, and that's a great question. Why aren't people building more houses? And the answer is because getting financing for new construction is very difficult for
even now.
Even now. And so what you're seeing, if you look in, I was in Denver this week, in San Francisco last week, and what you're seeing in Denver is an incredible amount of building. There's no for sale signs anywhere in the city. Homes are selling in minutes. But there are so many cranes everywhere that you can see there's a crane. They're building high-end rental units because when developer, and the same thing's going on here in Chicago, it's going on in San Francisco, when you're building rental, the bank will lend you more money than if you're selling. Because if you're selling, you have to sell a certain percentage before you can secure your financing. But with rental, the banks figure you'll be able to rent from day one. You might just adjust the financing, the rental rate. And so they're more willing to lend you up front. Easier to get homes built if they're rental.
We have tons and tons and tons and tons of high-rise rentals either in play or going up here in the city. Is it a volume good thing or a bad thing?
It's both. It shows that we're growing and that they think that higher paying jobs are coming to downtown. And for sure, that's true. I mean, you can see McDonald's is moving down and you've got other kinds of big companies that are moving to the city. They want to take advantage of our great infrastructure. I know if you don't like taking the L, it's the fact that we have it instead of not having it. We have infrastructure, we've got a beautiful city, we've got things that still work in the city. This is all good stuff. And so We've got people moving back because younger, smarter people want to live in an urban area and take advantage of that for a longer period of time, not just their 20s, but now into their 30s. And so I think the high-end rental stuff is good. I just wonder who's going to rent all of it.
Yeah, I can't do all of it. I mean, you know, I can maybe take care of one or two.
You can only rent two.
Yeah, two has got to be my high-end. The staff can ask you questions, right? How about the listeners? Let's throw some questions at Elise and, you know, really about anything. You know, the NFL, whatever. 312-981-7200 is the number. When we come back, we'll hit you with a couple of questions. And before we go to the break in traffic here, if you are an individual stocks investor now, are you looking at selling anything or is it just on a company-by-company basis?
Am I? Everything that I'm doing is now in index funds.
Is that right?
I don't buy any, and I haven't for a long time. I just buy the three index funds that I recommend to everybody are the ones that I'm fully invested in. Total stock market, total bond market, international stock.
It seems very conservative for you.
Well,
but maybe that's why you're incredibly wealthy. Back with more in just a second with the incredibly wealthy Elise Glink. But first, here's Mary Vanderbilt.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
You know how good this song is? Trump couldn't even ruin this song. This is the Apprentice thing, right?
Yep, this is the Apprentice song.
He can ruin America, but he can't ruin this song. The delightful, talented, lovely Elise Glink standing by, and also filthy rich. Did I mention that? All right, so Elise, a couple of texter questions here from the 708. Is the IDA, the EIDL loan thing, going to stick around? Is that the International Development Association loan?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see. So here's the thing. Trump is a lot of bluster. Today, this morning in Twitter, he took on Amazon again and the Washington Post, which I have to say has been doing an outstanding job.
Tremendous journalism.
Amazing journalism. You know, he's taking on, he's pointing the finger at a lot of places, but I think you're going to see resistance to actually enacting certain things that impact directly Republican constituents. And so when it comes down to it, the import-export bank, I think, is going to be okay. That's going to be okay. There's going to be pockets that are going to be fine. It's just he only, you know, being president, I think, is harder. This is why they all go white, is my theory, right? It's really harder than it looks. So there's just so many things to train your sights on. So if you're really busy on Twitter, my hope is that the Republicans in Congress will sort of move things away from the plate unless they directly, you know, especially if they directly affect their own constituents. So I think we're going to be okay there.
How is that? This is from the 630. How are price trends for homes in the burbs like Naperville or up north compared to the city prices?
What we're seeing in the suburbs is a slowdown in slightly higher prices. So for example, in the North Shore, you see a lot of homes for sale, and I mean a lot, but all of them start at in the $1 million plus range. And I've been in this business long enough to remember when there were like five homes for sale over $1 million. And now we've got thousands of them that are listed and for sale. So, but in the North Shore and in some parts of the western suburbs, these higher-end homes are just sort of sitting around. And I think the reason for that is even though interest rates are so low, you're seeing more options in the city. And so over the Great Recession, there was a missing it's not really a generation, but a missing group of people who kind of deferred or delayed or just decided not to have kids and didn't end up moving out to places where they had great school districts that were in the higher price points. And those, there's still a hangover of those kinds of homes at those kinds of prices that are waiting for buyers to either move out from the city or elsewhere. And so you're seeing in the suburbs that the higher end stuff is sitting. The lower price stuff, first time buyer level homes and even trade up homes in that first or second round, those are selling like hotcakes. And they're
like hotcakes?
Hotcakes, like hotcakes with blueberries.
Nice.
Few and far between, as we, you know, to your point earlier, we're just not seeing builders build the first time buyer stuff at the rate that we need them to.
All right, so let's go to some staff questions. Andre, do you ever sell your house, your place?
No, I'm considering looking around, checking out the market. Been very close contact with Elise, though.
Okay.
Kind of watching the market, hence because, my question earlier.
I know there's a good way to market it, and that's to bring it up constantly on the show with specifics, photos, and a number to reach a realtor.
Home address, absolutely. Yeah. Personal cell phone.
Do you have any questions for Elise?
She answered it earlier, thank you, Elise.
Let's go live to Mark Carmen, a landlord, a slumlord, if you will.
Yeah, Elise, if you're thinking about buying in the city and you're worried about the tax rates of certain, you know, the being downtown versus being a little further out, what's your advice on that?
You mean property tax rates?
Yep.
As far as investment is concerned.
I think property tax rates get lower if you leave Illinois.
That's true, too.
I think that that's true, but the commuting costs are much higher.
That's a good point. Gas is not cheap.
It's not. It's cheap, but it's like, you know, you're going to be flying in your private plane, right? So that's really
true.
Expensive.
That's crazy. Thanks for letting me borrow yours.
I think that you're welcome. I think that the tax rates are a really tricky thing right now. I think there's, clearly in the state we're so broke, there is only one choice, and that is to make sure that there's enough revenue to do the things that we need to do, pay the bills that we need to pay that we haven't paid for 2.5-3 years, and until this impasse between all of our politicians settles down a bit and we figure out where we're going, I think you're probably okay in the short term because I don't think tax rates are going to do anything other than slowly go up, and then we may see a big jump.
708 says, I'm thinking about building versus buying an existing home. Recommendation? Kind of depends on the property, doesn't it?
I like that idea. Just don't build too big for the neighborhood. You want to make sure that you're building maybe just on the upper edge of a neighborhood, but you don't want to build what they call a white elephant or, a house that's like four times the size of all the neighbors in the area, or that costs four times as much as a typical person who might live in the area might earn. So while people move around a lot, you typically find that people who earn, let's say, $100,000 a year will all live in a sort of a similar area. And if you buy a house that's a multi-million-dollar house in a neighborhood where the typical salary is between $75,000 and $125,000, they're not going to be able to afford it, and you probably won't be able to sell it. So think about how easy it would be to sell that house before you build it.
There's a house that went up in my neighborhood. A dude bought two or three lots. It's at least two. It might be three. It's the size of a mall. I'm thinking, who's going to buy it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's some when the house is on Orchard.
Because if you have that kind of money, I suppose you don't care who buys it, right?
Well, you do. I think you do.
Oh, do you?
I think. Well, I would care.
Right.
You
would your level care. Of cash.
Maybe with $100 million, I wouldn't care. I don't know.
Yeah, just it's. But to reinforce your point, Carm, you have a follow up, I guess.
Well, I'm also wondering, like, if you are an investor and you're saying that all these, there's so much. A small house or whatever is going to be flying off the market. Are you recommending selling those right now, Elise, or do you think we're not at the top? I know it's hard to guess.
Oh, I don't think you should ever try and time the market. If you want to move somewhere and you've got kids who are going to a school district, you should sell. If you've decided to retire, move back to the city, you want a different lifestyle, you should sell. But don't sell because you think that the property prices are going to, top out, or even the stock market is going to top out at a certain time. I think you have to decide how long you're in it for and follow your own strategy, because that is the only way to make money over time, whether it's in real estate or in the market.
He's not listening now. Mark Carmen does this thing. You're not listening now, are you, Carmen?
I'm not, Steve.
Okay.
Not at all.
He takes in people and lets them live with him. Drifters, strangers, thugs.
Isn't that called Airbnb?
Yeah, but he doesn't charge them.
It's Carmen-B&B, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
He's a wonderful thing.
He's like sanctuary Carm, is what we're calling him.
He is. He's a sanctuary Carm.
People crash on his couch.
Yeah, Trump
doesn't
like
him. So is he the one buying the building the huge houses? Maybe that's who's buying them.
That could be. I got to watch him. Hey, I get a lot of text questions, and I'll let you go on this asking, what are the three things you're investing in again?
So what I invest in are index funds, and all of the big fund families have them, and they're the cheapest things that you can own, and they return where the market is. So I do total stock market, total bond market, very small amount of total bond market, by the way, and international stock market. And that gives me the exposure to kind of the three things that I think are really important.
And just Google those categories. You're going to get a lot of different choices. Do you have one you recommend, or you're not paid to recommend it?
I don't recommend individual ones because they're all pretty cheap. But I will tell you that Fidelity and Vanguard have two of the cheapest sets of index funds that are out there, but Schwab also has cheap index funds. Index funds are really cheap because they're driven by nobody's involved with it. It's kind of like, you know, robo trading at its finest, but it's been around for a long time. So any of the big fund families offer really cheap index funds, and that puts more of your own money to work.
I'm investing in cassette players. Does that seem wise?
How about 8-track?
Reel to reel.
Talise Glink, where do people follow you?
ThinkGlink.com.
Hold on to something. Trump's still in the White House, and it's 7:33. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I always like to bring Paul Coyne on with the classiest of British classics. It's the love theme from Benny Hill. Good morning, Paul Coyne, live from London.
Dave, how are you?
Well, how do you think I am? Bewildered, disillusioned?
You're excellent. You always are. You're always excellent. How are you really? Are you really okay?
Well, it's not good. Did you catch our president's press conference yesterday?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. He was kind of let loose, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Without a script and everything, we did kind of see that. Interesting.
What
must
is the
be a lot of things to talk about in your country right now.
What is the feeling about President Trump in London itself? What is the feeling there?
Our feeling is pretty much the same as yours, Steve, okay. To be honest with you. That's all I can really say. Bewilderment, mm-hmm. surprise. It's all those sorts of things. Eyebrows are raised so high, they're actually flown off British people's heads and are floating across the clouds as we speak.
I did not know that. Now, at any point, do any of you look at each other and go, how did we ever lose a war to those people?
You know what? It's like we're looking and thinking, it's a bewilderment. That's what it is. It's a bewilderment at the moment and a slight worry.
We are going to get it right. It's going to take a little bit of time, but you can't have a raving madman run the United States of America, and that's what's currently happening. Now, on a much happier note, how's Brexit?
Yes. Brexit is kind of confusing at the moment as well. Yeah. That's also raising our eyebrows, too. How much we're paying. I think we've got a couple of years to go until we're out. It's going to cost us billions of pounds to get out. And again, everybody is now thinking, why did we vote this exactly? Now, what exactly can we actually have a do-over and then start it all over again? So there's a bewilderment in this country also. Bewilderment seems to be the word of the day.
Well, but, you know, I remember the day after the Brexit vote, you said that there were people all over the country who thought it was a test vote, who didn't think it counted. Yes. So you said it before anybody else said it.
It was. It was people walking around going, oh, well, that's it. You know, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And then they think, actually, let's make Britain great again. Does that ring a bell?
A little bit.
Like, well, when were we? 1853? It's just crazy. They're trying to hang on to those people that were trying to hang on to something that never really existed. That imagined that we would be running the empire, that we would take over America again. Which obviously is still on the card, so we're still hoping for that.
Well, there is that.
They voted another way.
All right, so let's move on to item number 3 on my list, and that is the fact that Big Ben is going to go quiet. Now, you are a former London tour guide, and a fine one, by the way.
Yes, I am.
Gave my family a tour of London like you wouldn't believe, and we had a wonderful time. But Paul actually was an official compensated London tour guide, knows every inch of his city. And Big Ben is where? What's the significance and what's happening?
Okay. Big Ben, everybody seems to think is the clock. People in this country, it's the clock at the Houses of Parliament. Everybody knows and chimes the new year in every year, in fact, and has done since the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very well known, our main landmarks, one of our finest landmarks, are the Houses of Parliament. But everybody seems to think it's the clock. Big Ben is actually the bell that chimes, which is named after Benjamin someone or other who had something to do with something. So that's where the Big Ben name comes from. I'm glad you got that sorted.
Yes.
But the thing is, it's going to go quiet. So they've said it's going to be quiet now for the next 4 years from yesterday. All hell breaks loose. Brexit's on the back burner now. This is much more important to us as a country. And now Theresa May this morning says, well, this can't happen. Something else has got to go on. What happens at New Year? They said, look, we'll still chime them at New Year, but the bell will not sound for 4 years. So now they're trying to work out a way they can do it. So I think they're probably going to play it off an iPod with a couple of very loud headphones in the top is the only other way. But something has to happen. No bell. No Great Britain.
Couldn't there be a couple of proper British gentlemen in top hats somewhere, you know, at the proper level who just lean out once an hour and go, dong, dong.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing, but I think probably something a little like, oh, hello, hello.
That's what I'm talking about.
Time, or it's 3 o'clock. You say something like that. But the bells chime every 15 minutes. So you get a ding, dong, ding, dong, a quarter past. A half past, you get ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. Little bit more, a quarter to. And then you get the full tune. And then Big Ben just chimes the hour. Although, at the moment, it doesn't do anything.
Oh, I like Big Ben. Hey, Paul, how are the commemorations going for the Princess Diana Remembrance? I know the documentary is airing here. I'm sure lots of people are going to be flocking there, paying their
remembrance. Do you find yourself surprised, like I am, at how much you miss her?
I know.
Because
August 31st.
You guys know this, Paul, and we thought we knew, but she was really a special person and a special woman. And I know these are fawning, written documentaries, and like anyone else, she was a flawed human being in different ways. But she really seemed like a cool chick.
Right.
She's like somebody you want to hang out with. She's like she would have been a phenomenal grandmother. There was no question she loved her kids. And for those two young men to grow up in the circumstance they grew up in, and they seem to be quite normal, actually, that's got to be a testament to her as well, even though she's been gone for 20 years.
Right, absolutely. And all over the world, too, people. Paul, I had one of my college roommates just revered her, had, you know, I don't want to say the Diana trading playing cards, but she did carry, you know, a little picture. She loved her. And someone also referred to her as kind of like a modern day Eleanor Roosevelt, like just so kind, so philanthropic, and her legacy still lives on all these years later.
It's, you know what, it is a tricky thing. And at the time, what was going on is that she was outside the royal family. She comes into the royal family, and the way the royal family has been probably hasn't changed because it's in its own cocoon. It's probably been like that for 200 years. She comes in, whatever goes on with Charles and Camilla or the family and how the Queen reacts to her is something she's come into and completely not used to, as anybody would be, because the royal family is completely separate. It's completely its own entity. So she's come in and it's all, you know, we all know how bad things were for her. So pretty much she was a commoner in a royal situation. So it was all very hard. She did what she could to get through. Yes, we hear stories about, you know, of course she did a lot for charity. She was a wonderful woman. But also, death, sadly, will then increase that. And as we know, I remember, Steve, we used to have conversations about this after she died. The hysteria that hit this country was, I'll admit, was pretty scary because people got completely out of control with it. There's no question about that. I remember walking through the gardens, I think it was Kensington Gardens, and I think I'd interviewed someone, and people came up to me and said, you're the press, how dare you kill Diana, you're a disgrace. And it's like, hold on, get your head straight here, what is going on? Right. And there was this crazy, there was mild hysteria, I think it was even more than that, that happened after she died. So always something follows on after that. But she certainly was, without doubt, a remarkable woman and someone that will always be remembered here.
Well, I will let you go on this. Will the Queen in particular or the royal family in general do anything special to mark the date?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how much is going to be done about it. It's a very, again, it's a, you know, do you commemorate the death and how is it going to be? And even if it was like 20 years on from a queen or king dying, would it be commemorated that way? I don't know. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to be right. We're going to have a big parade because I don't think that's going to happen. But I think everybody will do it in their own way. And I'm sure there'll be documentaries and everybody will talk about it. But how much is actually going to be done as in commemoration and celebration of a life wise? Yeah, I'm not so sure.
What feels right as a Brit? Does it feel like it would be improper to make a big deal out of it?
I don't think it'd be improper. I don't know. I just think I think it will be commemorated, but to what end? I mean, any famous person, any presidents or any great Americans or great people across the world over the years, you know, if they've been dead for 20 years, do you celebrate or commemorate that? I don't know whether you do.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. And obviously when someone dies young or in a tragic way, it becomes a bigger deal. But
Sure.
It would feel disappointing if the royal family didn't. But guess what? We don't get to tell the royal family what to do. And I guess you don't either.
Yeah, I guess so. But what would be right? Again, they're so careful with the press office and everybody around them. What would be the right thing to do? Do you, like, say, oh, you give a speech, or do you have a concert, or do you, I don't know. It's a really tricky one. So I think it's something that will certainly be noted, but I don't expect there's going to be a huge, you know, fanfare about what's going on, as you probably expect.
Well, we really ended on a down note, didn't we?
What's Trump going to do? Is Donald going to do something about it?
I'm sure he'll claim that he dated her. So here's my...
yeah.
So let's end on this. Tottenham Hotspur, how did you do in your opener?
1-2-0, 2-0, away at Newcastle. First game at Wembley Stadium, our new home for the year, against Chelsea on Sunday. We're very nervous and we're very excited at the same time, which is always, I find, the best way to go through life.
Good job, Spurs. Good job, my friend Paul Coit, live from London.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, good.
All right, 8:14, and the Steve Cochran Show continues with Dean Richards live at Channel 9. How do you feel about Carm's anti-eclipse stance?
I did not hear that. I just now plugged in.
Well, so pretend you heard it.
I did
How do you feel about Carm's anti-eclipse stance?
I completely disagree with him.
Yeah.
Come on, Dean.
Well, I don't know
Dean's
what you said.
Dean's been very, very big on this ever since it came up 4 minutes ago. But what Carm said is that he doesn't understand all the hubbub about 2 minutes and 40 seconds of time.
Well, in that case, I disagree with. Then I stand with my original statement.
Yeah.
Dean, it's cool.
Dean, what are you going to do to take in the eclipse? What's your plan?
Nothing, but I appreciate that a lot of people are. I appreciate that it's, you know, it doesn't happen very often. It's a cool thing to... You know,
if I told you there was an asteroid coming towards this planet that would wipe us all out,
that'd be
in the same way the dinosaurs were wiped out, what would you do? Watch more Comcast Sportsnet?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just checking.
I mean, what could I do about it, Steve? It's going to be dark for a couple of minutes. I appreciate the efforts that are going on. Steve Grzanich is going to do an amazing job. Dave Schwann, too. Right, Steve?
Yeah, stop sucking up.
Yeah, right.
It's a cool
thing. Too little, too late.
It doesn't happen very often. If you've got kids, you know, it's a cool thing to see. I'm all for all these companies that are selling these fake sunglasses that'll blind you anyway if you wear them.
Listen, I do have to say, if you bought sunglasses for $1 and you're shocked that they're not eclipse regulated and safe, I got to say, Dean, that's on you.
What are you saying? You deserve it?
Well, I don't think you deserve to be blind, but you paid $1.
Right.
I mean, come on.
What if I bought like 10 pairs and that's
and put them all
$10?
On? Yeah. That'd be a good look if you could put 10 pair over each other.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do a big story on the eclipse next hour.
Last week there was a
Go
to Carm, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Carm, your follow-up was what?
No, it was a 10-pack on Amazon last week for those glasses. Were like $19.95. Now they're $39.95. Mm-hmm. You're getting 100% markup.
You know what that is? Surge pricing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I seem to remember when I was a kid, there must have been one of these. I know the last one was in the 70s, but I seem to remember when I was a kid there was one of these, and you put your head in a box with a pinhole or something. So
are you sure that wasn't camp?
may have been a hazing ritual at Boy Scout camp. That's possible.
We had a friend of mine from college sent me a picture of the last eclipse that we had in 1994, partial, not a full, And we were sitting there with the piece of paper. I don't even remember the picture
pinhole.
Being taken.
It's a pinhole.
Yeah, with the pinhole in the paper.
Like reflects. It goes through the pinhole and reflects.
And Andrea was leading this group of eclipse lookers.
I couldn't. Yeah. I don't even remember doing that. I was just more looking at my wardrobe, thinking, "God, the '90s were not kind to my wardrobe."
What do you mean you don't remember? Can you remember what we did on the show yesterday?
A little bit. Little bit. No, of course I can, but do you remember,
remember
20 years ago?
The pictures I took 20 years ago? No.
Yeah, seriously.
Absolutely.
I remember putting my head in a box doing all that.
Yeah, again.
That's many years
again,
ago.
Again, hazing
Wasn't
ritual.
That a movie?
Again, I had three
Brad
older
Pitt?
Brothers, so that's just one of many practical jokes and torture devices that they did to me.
Right. More from Carm?
Well, what Dean's trying to do is avoid solar retinopathy.
That's correct.
Yes, and it's recommended.
I was in a band called Solar Retinopathy.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that Carm, in addition to being a fantastic sports reporter, on the side, fantastic ophthalmologist also.
Yeah, more than meets the eye to that.
Yeah.
Yep, pinhole camera. That's what they tell. That's what the docs say.
He's dilated me many times.
Right.
Carm right now is trying to go around the country and take down statues of famous astrophysicists.
I wonder if it would be worse if your eyes are dilated.
If your eyes are what?
No more Enrico Fermi. No more.
Carl Sagan sucks. All right, it's 8:18. Before we do the list, tell me about Puddles Pity Party. This is the freak show clown.
Oh, I love Puddles. Are you kidding me? You don't like Puddles?
Oh, no, I do like Puddles. This is a giant man
yes.
in a white clown suit with a tiny hat in complete white clown paint.
Yep.
And with an amazing singing voice.
He has been on our WGN Morning News many times. He's got to be 7 feet tall.
Is he the one on America's Got Talent right
yes,
now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I know he looks
creeps
creepy.
Me out.
I know he looks
he's
creepy.
He's so good, but it is scary.
I'll bet he's been on our show 4 or 5 times. He's never spoken a word. I try to just make some conversation in between the segments. Has never said a word.
I like his commitment to the character.
Yeah,
I'm very impressed.
Oh, totally. It's all very mime-like off camera. He doesn't speak. And then all you see is this giant guy in white makeup and a tiny little hat, like a kind of creepy clown. And then he starts singing and has the voice of God. He has the most beautiful voice. Usually sings modern songs, but in sort of a big band, traditional sort of way.
But always sad, because that's his hook, right? It's the pity party.
A little bit. Last night he sang the Lord's Song, Royals, last night, and I thought he killed it. I'm a huge fan of his.
Let me guess, Simon didn't like him?
I did not see the conclusion of it, but they took a couple of reaction shots of Simon during it, and he looked disgusted. Mm. But when doesn't Simon look disgusted? Yeah.
Simon only likes the dog acts. Yeah. He likes all the puppy acts, and they're terrible. There's like two of them that should go, and he's still...
I will never be royals.
Great voice.
I mean, I guess he sings amazing.
He's okay.
Beautiful voice.
He's got backup pedal people singing.
He's got what?
Puddle people.
Voice is so good, though.
Well, but that's his voice singing.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have backup singers.
What are you, female Simon?
America's Got Talent.
Yeah, and that buzzer was somebody saying no. I don't know who it was. My theory on this, Dean. I think all of the reality shows should be combined to save time.
Yeah,
so here's what I like to see. A total clown version of American Ninja Warriors, where they run the obstacle course, but
yes.
they do it in clown makeup in a clown suit with the giant shoes.
And then they cook, and they only get 3 ingredients, and then one of them gets
cut
off.
To the thing, you hit the buzzer, and then a kitchen drops down, a full kitchen,
perfect.
And you have to make a meal.
Yes.
And one of the obstacles you have to get through are the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's just mean.
Laugh at this guy now, but when this reality show star becomes our next president of the United States, Puddles the Clown, you'll be singing a different tune.
You know what? I'd take him. I'd take him today.
So, Dean, when you said you had him on the morning news and you were trying to talk to him during the break, like, what is that conversation like? What do you say? Like, do you know Bozo? What do you talk about?
It wasn't clown talk. I was just trying to talk about, so are you on tour right now? You know, how did this act get started?
And he never came out of character.
And he, you know, he was like, you know, motioning, kind of affirmatively trying to answer my question, you know, trying to mime out answers to my questions. You know, where do you find a giant clown suit like that?
You know what else would be a fun reality show? Say Yes to the Shoes, where clowns go into a shoe store and they try on different shoes and they have to say yes to the shoes by the end of the show.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are just ideas.
He wears normal shoes. He doesn't have the big giant.
Oh, well, then I have an issue with him.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Orland Park on Friday for the next WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. That's Friday morning live from where?
Orland Park Silver Lake Golf Club, 151st and 82nd Avenue. And they have a special for everybody who comes out. Golf for the entire day, $7.20. As in $7.20.
Come on, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a steal.
It's a great steal. Great, great, great course. We're going to hopefully play a little golf as well. It's going to be great. And they have breakfast specials, too.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. It's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. Chicago's own good hands. John DeCoste is joining us out there, I believe.
Oh, good.
Back from one of his road trips. Welcome in studio now to Juan Salgado, City Colleges of Chicago Chancellor, along with a student here, Candace Walker, embarking on her very successful life. And here in part to thank City Colleges. Juan, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thank you for
having
me.
Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
And you look sharp.
Thank you.
How are things at City Colleges?
It's an exciting time, actually. We're getting ready to start our fall semester.
Right.
So students are arriving. They're registered. And they're choosing their courses.
Keeps you young.
Oh, boy, does it
keep you
young.
Hanging around with these kids.
Absolutely.
How'd you get into business?
I've been in education for over 20 years. Believe in the power of education to transform people's lives.
Did you do classroom teaching as well?
I've done mostly administrating.
Okay, so you've been the boss.
Yeah.
Okay, what are some of the challenges you're dealing with?
You know, there's an opportunity. There are a lot of jobs out there.
Did you see what he did there, Andre? He took challenges, he turned it into an opportunity.
I know.
Yeah. Well, this is a reality. There's a lot of jobs out there.
Okay.
They're going unfilled. Companies in information technology and healthcare and manufacturing, in construction and plumbers and carpenters. You know, we need a labor force, and you know, fortunately, there are opportunities at places like City Colleges of Chicago for people that are looking for
educate
better.
To a skill. Don't just educate. Generally educate. Educate to a skill and a future.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly what we do at City Colleges.
I like that.
It's not just every course that you take will be directed towards a career.
What do I need from trigonometry? Do I need trigonometry here? I don't need it. Yet if I go to a college, you're going to tell me I got to take trigonometry. I don't need trigonometry. Oh, I'm sorry, that was me. I had a flashback to back when I was.
Candace is going, uh-huh. Right?
Candace joins us now. Candace Walker. Candace, tell us about you. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Little Rock, Arkansas. I moved up here in October so that I could get into the carpentry program at Kennedy King.
Well, how about that? Welcome to town.
Thank you.
What do you think of Chicago?
It's still growing.
It's a lot, right? It's a lot to take on.
Bigger than Little Rock.
You have family here?
No.
So you can't. I like this. You came up here on your own. That takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, but I really wanted to learn how to build houses. So, you know, sometimes you just got to get up and go to make a change.
And why has the City College's experience been right for you?
It's been great. Like, everything has been great. The city of Chicago actually paid for my classes. The teachers have been awesome. They have really been pushing for everybody to, you know, learn the material and complete everything and to, you know, find good employment. And that's exactly what they've done.
Learn a skill. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So you earned your way into having your tuition picked up. How do you pay that forward? Get on the radio and talk about City Colleges.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I just started working in May, so, you know, I'm still coming up with, you know, some ideas with our chancellor on, you know, ways that we could help others in the future.
Slinging a hammer? You slinging a hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing a tool belt, doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You. Are you more of a fan of building from the ground up or completely like some of these homes in Edison Park and Norridge and wherever it might be?
Oh, Austin. Build up versus a rehab?
Yeah, build up versus just like starting, you know, all you have are the walls and then you start again from the,
in the middle.
I prefer
new construction.
Okay.
Based on my experience here in Chicago, but... most of the business, I would say, would come from rehabbing right now in Chicago, but I would prefer new construction.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of neighborhoods that are being fully rehabbed for the good of the neighborhoods, and it creates opportunities for people that might not have them as well to places to live. Carms, you have a question for Candace?
I'm wondering if Candace is going to stay. Are you going to do the building here? Or are you going to go back home?
No, I'm staying. I'm here to stay.
All right.
It's the highly coveted sitting ovation.
Yes.
Juan, that's got to do your heart good.
This is why we exist, for students like Candace, for people out there in the community that want to better their lives, that want to work hard, because that's what it takes in community college. You have to persist. You have to get over whatever challenges or obstacles
you might have to move from Little Rock.
That you might have to move from Little Rock. We have supports, right? Child care at our centers, wellness centers, you know, tutoring supports. And so we'll be there to help you, but you got to take the first step.
Right.
And when I tell people, the first step is call us, 773-COLLEGE. You know, you call us up and we'll help guide you along the right path for you. And you're right. We're not going to have you take courses you don't need to take.
Right.
Because people are busy. They don't have the time to take those extra courses.
Calculus. What do I need from calculus? I'm a talk show host. Oh, wait. That's another flashback.
Calculus. Wait. But the incentives now are so great to attend and apply to the city colleges, right? Talk about the program where if you have above a B average or a B minus average, you get more incentives.
We make college affordable. The actual tuition cost for a payer is $1,750 for a full load for one semester.
Come on, really?
Really, that's it.
That's pretty crazy.
God. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, if you're a Chicago Public School student and you get a B average and you're near completion ready, you will get community college for free because you've earned
it.
Okay. And not only that, is we have now partnerships with colleges and universities all around Chicago.
And by the way, you'll be able to do that. This is not the Bernie Sanders political promise without a plan thing. The city has figured out a way to do this.
We have figured out a way to do this.
Yes.
And you're right. It's not free college for all. It's an opportunity for those who have gotten a B average.
And this is what this, you know, if you're going to start handing out taxpayer money for tuition in any form, this is what it should be. This is what it should be, where you fast track people from a great college education and a growing up experience into a job that takes care of other things that we need, right?
Absolutely. Well, actually,
it's a good business model.
Well, the taxpayer actually gets the return on investment.
Of course.
Because every job that doesn't go filled is, you know, less money circulated in our economy.
Well, just what you and I were talking, Candace, build Andrea a house. Just right here.
Sounds
just
like down. A plan.
There
yes,
you
you're hired. You're hired. Hey, I'm calling her.
Candace, how big are you going to build this here? You got to build the house, but now are you taking classes? You get the finances. You can have your own company, right? You get people underneath you. That's my vision for you.
Well, that was one of my courses. They taught us the basics of opening up a business, what we would need to expect in the construction industry, since that will be...
So you're learning all aspects of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good for you.
How cool is that?
What are you going to call your company?
You said, what am I going to call it? My dream home construction.
There you go. Yes. Another sitting ovation.
That's what I'm talking about.
Be a role model for other young women who wanting to go into this field. That's going to make you feel pretty special.
Yeah, this is an awesome industry to be in. I love being a carpenter. There's absolutely nothing that we can't do.
Well, work for Jesus. You know, it seems like a good job for him.
Right.
It's great to meet you. And congratulations on your success. Open houses coming up?
Open houses. We have registration. You just... come to one of our seven colleges, but more importantly, call the number, 773-COLLEGE, because that's your first step.
That's why we like having you come in here. We're just having to come in and promote this because we believe in what you're doing.
We appreciate you having us here.
Thank you, Juan. Congrats, Candace.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
What is this?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne? I'm not a rock chick. Let's go live to Andrea.
Ozzy Osbourne, flying high again. Post Black Sabbath, of course.
Is this good music to jump to? I don't know. Why don't we ask an expert? Here from the Golden Knights first class team, Derek Coleman and Herb Hunter, the great voice of the Chicago Air and Water Show for 30 years and doesn't look a day over 30 himself. Get it done. Nice to see both of you. How are you?
Great to be here.
The microphone on. There you go, Derek and Herb. You're good?
I'm good, sir.
Nice to see you as well. How many times have you jumped, Herb?
I've jumped once when I was 16 years old at 3,500 feet.
But you'd do it again, wouldn't you?
I would do it. With these guys, it'd be such an honor.
Come on, Derek. Let's get him on the plane. What's going on?
We'll try. We'll try one of these years.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How many jumps have you had?
I've had 2,532 jumps. And I started jumping at 16, so 23 years of jumping.
2,532.
Yes, sir.
How do you find out you're good enough to be a Golden Knight?
Every year we have an assessment and selection, and it should be starting after Labor Day.
Do you apply? Does somebody recruit you?
You put in an application. You have to have 100 free fall parachute jumps, be an active duty member of the armed forces, and you can put in an application.
And were you taken right away, or is it one of those things where you always are turned down the first time?
It's a 2-month rigorous assessment and selection. And yes, I did make it on the first try, but sometimes it takes 2-3 tries.
So you jump out of a plane 2,500 times. Do you ever leave a plane normally? Like if you're just on a commercial flight, do you just pop out as well? You ever just take the wait till they get to the tarmac, roll up, and take the normal exit with the rest of us?
No.
I mean, it couldn't be more boring than to fly normally for you, I would think.
It's not bad. I don't like landing with planes too much, though. So.
It's kind of like a race car driver being stuck in traffic, you having to fly, you know, and coach. Not that you ever would, of course.
Can you picture Derek, though, would you get really scared when the plane's landing? I've never gone through this!
or do you laugh at the people when there's just a little bit of turbulence and they go, oh, oop, and they grab onto the handrail? Not that I do that.
It's kind of funny. So.
Now, I don't know if you're old enough to remember George Carlin, but I always reference this. George Carlin's joke was always, why would I jump out of a plane that's not broken? So why did you do that at 16?
Because the door
seemed
was open.
Cool.
The door was open.
But did you have a dad, an uncle, somebody?
My dad was an airborne paratrooper when he was in the Army, but I just wanted to do it. I saw it in movies. So.
General Grange, our old friend here, Dave Grange, he and his dad are in the Paratrooper Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's so cool.
I think it's the only father-son combo. Coolest jump ever?
Mount Rushmore.
Ooh, this is out of a plane?
Okay. Yes, we landed at the base of Mount Rushmore.
Come on. Seriously?
Yes.
That is so cool.
Don't you get like weird air pockets and stuff when you're flying around mountains?
It was set in the background, so we were landing on a parking garage at the bottom of the Mount Rushmore.
Landing on a parking garage?
The top of the parking garage.
Right. Yes.
That is so cool.
You have a very weird job.
It's interesting. We had to go see... a lot of different places and meet a lot of interesting people.
And everybody loves you, little kids to old folks.
We try.
Yeah, and Herb, you could speak to this. You've been doing this forever. I'm sure it's always a thrill.
For me it is. It's just, there's nothing in the world like Chicago. You know, right. I've announced air shows for a long time, but Chicago's different. It's always been special to me. I still remember the first time I ever walked on the platform when I was just there as a military rep. First time I saw the show site in 1979 when I was flying it in a KC-135. And it's Chicago's always been special, and I can't really explain it. I just love it.
It's funny, too, because this is, you know, it's a little harder than Gladys Knight and the Pips. The choreography that goes on between the different military hardware that happens during the day, you know, intertwined with the Golden Knights jumps and everything else that's happening. I know it's all carefully scripted, but it's like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, it, you know, so much of it comes to the work, you know, the people at DKS, John Trick, and of course our boss Rudy Malnati, they spend a lot of time getting the best of the best. Everybody in the industry wants to work Chicago.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Everybody that wants to fly Chicago, but not everybody's asked because you know, Rudy has his own criteria, and he's done a great job bringing in the best.
That's
and
cool.
I love working the site, working the show.
Wow, you got a great voice, and I always love hearing you do it.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
Isn't this your favorite week of the year with the practice rounds, too? They start... probably today.
Well, and the guys start buzzing Wrigley. The Cubs are always home, and Wrigley gets buzzed, and you're sitting in there, and all of a sudden the entire crowd... It used to be amazing because the entire crowd would give you the ooh, and it was the most exciting thing going on because the team was always losing.
It's true.
Yeah, now it goes with the territory.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's love being a part of it.
We did a, I think we did a story, right, Mary, last year or the year before, saying that Chicago has more. It's the biggest air and water show because there's more air and water show parties and more rooftop parties this weekend than any other in the country.
Well, it's a unique air and water show. It's free. Most of the shows like this are at an airport. This is along our lakefront. So you've got people from Diversey to, you know, Navy Pier. They're on top of buildings. There's a huge boat line. So
right. And do they still refuel in Gary, too? So you can see the planes go all the way south toward 12th Street Beach and Rainbow Beach, too.
That's where they all fly out of the Gary Jet Center.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you some stupid paratrooper questions because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Much like most guests on this show, I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so you're flying at 2,000 feet?
2,000 feet is our minimum jump altitude, all the way up to 12,500.
What altitude will you jump at this weekend?
Well, we're going to always aim to go to 12,500. It just depends on the weather.
Okay. So let's say you're at 12,500. At what point does the door come open?
We take off with the doors open.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, that seems handy.
But this weekend, we will be jumping out of the the Navy SEAL Elite Frogs are here to jump with us, too, and they brought a C-130. So when we take off in the C-130, the
C-130 is a cargo plane, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. The ramp will be closed, the doors will be shut, and then when we get up to altitude, about 2,000 feet, to throw our wind drift indicators, the ramp will go down.
Okay, so that's the comparison. What's the Harrison Ford movie where he's president?
Air Force One.
Yeah. Air Force One. At the end, when he throws the Russian out of the back, that's a C-130, I think, isn't it?
I think they used it as a...
Yeah, it was, you know, I know they didn't actually throw the Russian out.
Roger that, yes.
But the idea that the door comes open in the back, and then how do you know who goes? What's the order? Is there a seniority to it? What happens next?
Before any jump, we do a detailed dirt dive. That's where we dive it on the ground, and then we recreate that in the air.
So a walkthrough?
Correct. Just we do it about two or three times prior.
Do you fall when you're on the ground? Do you just and you fall face forward?
No, we just practice like what we're going to do exactly in the air, and then we go through that multiple times just so that everybody knows exactly what everybody's going to be doing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to announce, because they've got their own narrator, is on their second jump, I explain to the crowd what's happening when they come over at 2,000 feet and they throw out their streamers. And I explain their ground crew and how they're really just airplanes. They do everything an airplane can do except one is take off. And for that, they use a launch vehicle, some sort of human airplane.
Yeah.
And it's a really big kick because I do a lot of teaching. I try to teach the crowd what's going on and what they're going to do.
Paint a nice visual picture of it, too. So at what point, and I have to ask, will you pull the ripcord, and then is there a backup?
Well, how do you know when to jump?
Yeah.
We'll have a jump master that'll be in the back of the door.
The guy that stays on the plane.
Our jump masters actually jump with us. It's usually our team leader who's in charge. So he'll be back in the back, hanging his head over the ramp, spotting the aircraft. So we're looking on the ground. We throw streamers. They go downwind, of course. And then we know where we're going to jump out at, and they pick a spot on the ground wherever we're at. And that's where will be our exit point.
How much time between each jumper?
When we're doing a mass formation, that's where everybody goes out together and we build a formation in the sky. It's one after the other, as fast as we can get out of the tailgate of the aircraft.
And when do you pull the ripcord?
We pull the ripcord at stage deployments anywhere between 5,000 to 2,500 feet.
Oh, so you could free fall from 12,500 to 5,000?
We roughly get about 55 to 60 seconds of free fall.
There's a backup too, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. We were two parachutes. One is our main parachute, and if anything happens with that, we have a... reserve parachute, which is a slightly smaller wing surface area, but with a much greater forward airspeed.
2,500 jumps, we were talking off the air. You've never been seriously hurt. You've been banged and bumped up, but that goes to the preparation, I'm sure.
Yes, we try to stay physically and mentally prepared for everything. And we practice every year, do about 100 to 500 jumps a year.
Still a thrill?
Every jump.
Do you get an adrenaline rush? I suppose if you don't, it's time to quit.
Roger that.
Right.
Yes.
Herb, what's your favorite moment in the air show?
My favorite moment in the air show is the same every year. It's when I say showtime. It's when the show starts. They say the jumper's away because we usually, you know, we'll start off with the national anthem and the flag, and you see the canister kick off. So we see them at 12:05 coming down, and I say it's showtime, and I just there's something happens inside of me when that goes off, and I just from then I'm on.
Now, we know that the military has a lot of older aircraft that is still in service.
Right.
You know, airplanes are not like cars. They don't go away in 2 or 3 or 4 years. You can service them and fly them forever.
Right.
But the technology, I assume, has changed immensely since you
It started. Has, and one interesting one would be the one I flew. My wife and I were both in the Air National Guard, and we flew on a KC-135. The KC-135 is over 60 years old, and we're going to have one back in the show this year. Everything's changed on the airplane. It's got different engines. It's got reskinned wings. And when I flew it, it was a max gross weight of 299,000. Now it's, I think, 325 because the airplane has changed. The technology in the cockpit, everything's changed. So it's been updated. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for your service. It's an amazing week, Mary, as you well know.
Yes, it is.
Chicago Air and Water Show. We got to figure out a way to start charging people for this. We charge people for everything else. Let's charge them for this.
It's kind of hard when they can just look up.
Yeah.
But what do you advise? Obviously, take public transportation, but what else?
Take public transportation. Come down to the beach. Bring plenty of water, sunscreen. Bring your family, friends. You know, beach chair, towel.
Come
enjoy
early,
a
stay
free
late.
Day. Yeah, come early, stay late. And it's from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. Best advice, Friday is the practice day. Yeah. You know, that's a really great time to go down there. It's not as crowded, and it's still from 10 to 3. It's relatively the same show, so...
Nice. Met a couple last year. I think I told you this, Mary. Yeah. They met at the Air and Water Show, I think like 5 years ago, and they come every year now and celebrate their anniversary and bring their whole family, too.
That's nice.
It's kind of cool.
That's very nice. And Derek, pride of the U.S. Army, current rank?
Sergeant First Class E7.
Thank you for your service. Stay safe. All the cliches that you don't even need to hear from me.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah. No. Well, we appreciate you being here. It's an amazing thing. And it's going to be a great honor to be a part of that team.
It is.
Yeah. All right. All the best. This weekend, it's the Air and Water Show. Man, we could throw carms out during the eclipse.
Hey, hey.
That's not nice.
Okay. It's 9:24. Back with more in a moment at 720 WGN. President Trump in New York at Trump Tower walks out of the gold elevators yesterday and was supposed to make a statement on one of the theme weeks that's been going on, infrastructure, things of that nature. And, it didn't quite go as planned. He was asked questions in an impromptu press conference. How about why it took you a couple days to make the statement you made? Here he is.
I wanted to make sure, unlike most politicians, that what I said was correct, not make a quick statement. The statement I made on Saturday, the first statement, was a fine statement. But you don't make statements that direct unless you know the fact. It takes a little while to get the facts. You still don't know the facts. And it's a very, very important process to me. And it's a very important statement. So I don't want to go quickly and just make a statement for the sake of making a political statement. I want to know the facts. Now, here's the thing. Excuse me. Take it nice and easy.
This is the facts. You do have to take time with the facts. Apparently, that's why he's still taking time with that whole Obama wiretapped me thing. And throw 3 million illegal voters.
How many people attended the inauguration?
Yeah. OJ's real killer. Mm. You know, all those things. This was an interesting little twist of history, Mr. President.
Well, no, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly.
Wow. Listen, sometimes you don't need to comment. But I will say this. The basic difference between George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson is Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson were treasonous. George Washington fought to save this country. Thomas Jefferson did the same and wrote the Declaration of Independence. You know, maybe Wikipedia, Mr. President. Maybe, I don't know, maybe American History for Dummies. Check it out occasionally. This one is really disturbing. This is the president talking about the mother of the victim that was murdered on Saturday. By the way, Mr. President, her name is Heather Heyer. Listen.
So I don't want to rush into a statement. So making the statement when I made it was excellent. In fact, the young woman who I hear is a fantastic young woman, and it was on NBC, her mother wrote me and said through, I guess, Twitter, social media, the nicest things, and I very much appreciated that. I hear she was a fine, really actually an incredible young woman, but her mother on Twitter thanked me for what I said. And honestly, if the press were not fake, and if it was honest, the press would have said what I said was very nice.
My God, it has nothing to do with you. A woman lost her daughter. Seriously, how dare you try to take some sort of credit when you don't even have the basic human decency to memorize her name or call the woman? You know, you're supposed to rise to the level of the office, not try to take the level of the office down. Just outrageous. Ask if he planned to go to Charlottesville following the weekend's violence. And again, this is not an unprecedented event. Presidents do show up where trouble has happened. You try to make sense of this response.
You're helping the Neo Nation.
I own a house in Charlottesville.
Will you go to
Charlottesville? Does anyone know I own a house in Charlottesville?
Where is it?
Oh, boy. It's going to be... It's in Charlottesville. You'll see.
Is it near the winery or something?
It is the winery. Well,
will you go visit the people? Will you go visit and try to...
I mean, I know a lot about Charlottesville. Charlottesville is a great place that's been very badly hurt over the last couple of days. I own actually one of the largest wineries in the United States. It's in Charlottesville.
It goes beyond embarrassing. He's dangerously delusional. He's a narcissistic boob. And by the way, I'm a big fan of boobs, just not this kind. Finally, last night on ABC, here's Jimmy Kimmel.
He doesn't even want to be president. He's miserable. But he won't resign because his ego is too big. He can't do it. So either we impeach him, which could happen, but it might not, or we do what he would do in this situation. We negotiate. We make a deal. And I know this is going to sound nuts, but I have an idea. So hear me out on this. I think this could solve all our problems. We're all going to have to be on board with this. Instead of president, we make Donald Trump king. Okay? We make him the first king of America. Think about it. England has a queen. She lives in a palace. Everyone makes a big deal when she shows up. She has no power at all. In the morning, they put a crown on her head. She stands there and waves. She goes back to bed. That's it. If the queen were to walk out on her balcony and open her shirt, nothing over there would change. The queen could be completely bonkers. It would make no difference at all. She'd still be queen. It would still be fine. That's what we need to do with Donald Trump. We need to set him up in a castle, maybe in Florida, lead him to the top, and then lock the door to that castle forever.
That is the most sound advice you could possibly hear.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. 9:33, big story, next 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Credit card company's like, okay, you want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Seems pretty upset.
Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on. $20,000 to $30,000 with credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
It's so angry.
Now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200. $100 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
This is so what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
One of the best. One of the best. Let's say hi to this fine looking gentleman outside the window here. Apparently used to listen to Minnesota. Is that right? At KDWB? One of the fine stations I was thrown out of. Nice to see you. Thanks for saying hi. David Hochberg's here. And nice to see you, David. How are you? Let's see. That's the microphone. Yep. I got to find
there
out.
There you go. That's good. Thank you. I've got an advertising opportunity for you.
You do? What's that?
I want to rent the back of your head between 9 and 10. There's enough room back there that we can put a pro mortgage sign back there right on top.
Well, we talked about it because from the CLTV, there's a camera angle from CLTV. And by the way, they're all super flattering.
Yeah.
But there's a camera angle from CLTV from the back, which picks up where Carm's sitting, where Dave Bennett normally is, and Andrea. But all you see is the back of my big head.
Yeah.
And what I thought, because of the digital billboards, right, with the image changing.
I would just spray paint
it. So you put three messages, and then every 10 seconds I tilt my head. so you'd get the messages, and that way we'd get more bang for our buck.
I don't want to share you with anybody. I want your whole head. I want your whole
nickel
head
for every time I've heard that.
Yes.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm great.
All right. So Donald Trump, I don't know if you know this.
Is he president?
Real whack job. And he has caused all sorts of problems, except with the economy. The economy, the Wall Street economy, roaring.
Things are good on
Wall
Street.
Roaring on Wall Street. Now, that's not the regular guy economy. What does that mean for housing? What has he done for housing? Has Donald Trump ruined my housing? He's ruined everything else. Has he ruined housing yet?
No, actually, it's been pretty good for housing. That little episode with North Korea when we were going to go through the atomic holocaust last week was great for mortgage interest rates because it scared the hell out of everybody. Everybody rallied into bonds for security. So any type of cataclysmic event like that or threat of cataclysmic event.
So you're saying Kim Jong-un Realtors is a buddy of yours.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when the president and the leader of North Korea kind of do their sword battles and kind of go off the rails and kind of threaten the elimination of certain parts of the world with nuclear holocaust, it's good for mortgage rates. Okay, it's just like...
you got to look for the positives.
I look for the silver lining and everything, just like Brexit. Remember that nonsense of Brexit?
Yeah,
texted you in. I'm like, I want to thank the fine people of Great Britain.
Because it was great for you.
It was great for the... It wasn't great for me. It was great for your listener to capitalize on low interest rates.
But you benefit from that.
The loan officers throughout the United States, including a pro mortgage.
Do I need to remind you you're under oath?
I that was last week, Counselor. Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
How'd that go, by the way?
The jury thought that the plaintiff did not hold water and voted in our favor in under an hour, by the way.
So, sitting ovation.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you
ever been sued in federal court?
No.
Yeah, I don't advise that on anybody. But
I've testified in a lawsuit.
Holy smokes!
And I've sat in jury duty. Is that the same thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Sitting in a what do they call that? The place where you get grilled by
the chair.
Yeah, the chair. I sat in
witness
a chair.
Stand?
Witness stand. Yeah. I was in the witness stand for all day Tuesday and part of the morning Wednesday. And I will tell you.
Well, you won.
Yeah, we
so
won.
So walk it off.
No, I'm just saying it looks like it's like, oh yeah, you just answer questions. Well, you know, if you ask, hey, are you wearing a purple shirt? Yes. Are you sure that's a purple shirt? How do you know that's a purple shirt? What color purple is that? Did you make the shirt? Did you order the cotton for the shirt?
Yes.
Did you stitch the shirt? That could be a different color shirt. I'm colorblind. I don't see that as a purple shirt. It's
right.
Like, for love of God, you leave there and you're just like mentally exhausted.
It's hard to believe that you could have been fired up.
Could you believe that I sat there?
Shock.
I didn't say any. I had no delay and I was a good boy. And... Yes. So I'm just very proud.
Your head exploded in your car on the way home?
Yes. Okay. But I am very proud of the American judicial system. Thank you to the jury for looking at the evidence and voting and burying ice.
The right way.
And correct.
Yeah, okay.
The only way there was.
David Hochberg's here from Pearl Mortgage. If people want to call you, what do they do?
It's very simple. You pick up the phone, for number one. Dial 312-751-1333. You could also go to WGNDavid.com. We launched a new thing on our website, Question of the Week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and we're getting great questions. One of them just this week was from a gentleman going through a divorce. Who wanted?
Well, tease this.
Okay,
you do a show. Tease this into the next break.
I'll tease it. So, a gentleman wrote a question about divorce.
You're taking way too long. There's a guy who got divorced, who's got an issue that David Hochberg helped him settle. We'll tell you how next on 720 WGN.
Thank
See what I did there. David Ochberg's here from Pearl Mortgage. His favorite employee is Ross Cochran. How's that working out?
So far, so good.
Strong, isn't he?
Very. You know what? Not only because he's standing right next to me, but it's been a little over a year, right? And it's starting to click. And it takes people about a year, especially when they don't come from a financial background or any type of mortgage background. Who the heck would, know? And... it takes about a year to 3 years to really understand what's going on and, connecting the dots. And the clients love him on the phone. He's doing a great job. And he's closing 5-6 loans a month, which is
nice. Yeah. Now, you go good cop, bad cop, where you lose your mind and then Ross goes on and talks him off a ledge?
No. I
might suggest that.
Yeah, probably a good idea. That's why I don't talk to people that much anymore.
That's why you don't talk to me.
Yeah, true. It's good for my health and my pocketbook. Yeah.
I call Hochberg's office. He goes, David doesn't work here.
Yeah.
I go, what? That's new. All right, so somebody gets divorced. Pick that up.
Yeah, somebody gets divorced. Well, I've been divorced, so I know what it's like. It's not the most enjoyable experience in the world, but I didn't have kids, and then we just had a property. So it was either you take your stuff, I take my stuff, we sell the house, and we move on.
Right.
This individual had kids and child support and spousal support and all that stuff, and he wanted to buy a home. So his question was, how do I count the income? You know, how do I count the expense of child support and
to qualify for a loan
and wife support to qualify for a home? What comes right off your monthly income? So I emailed him back an example. If you made $120,000 a year, it's $10,000 a month, right? And if you have to pay your ex $4,000 a month, you know, you're now down to $6,000 a month that you qualify for. Well, you're already at 40% loan to debt to income. There's not a lot of room there in order to buy a home. So it's difficult buying a home with a divorce. Especially.
Because the best case scenario for this guy would be if he didn't have to include it, but then the lender would go, why am I lending him money? Right. Well, I know you do,
yeah.
But I'm just trying to walk through this in my head.
Yeah.
So what did you end up doing for him?
Well, I'm waiting to for a callback. I sent him a detailed email, which we're going to record and put on our website, wgndavid.com, question of the week, because these are questions from real listeners that they're having challenges with. And if they're having that challenge, other listeners are having that challenge to overcome that challenge in the future. So, you know, it's great. So it's free. We're not charging you. And we're going to change your name. We're not putting up, you know, Joe from Arlington Heights at telephone number 630-555-1212. We're going to say, okay, you know, Joe's got this question. He's going through divorce. And if you're going through divorce, this impacts you as well. And this is what you need to be aware of. So
you're the math wizard. You're the wizard of all mathery. And if people have something going on, whether it's credit fixes or, you know, you get about three formulas deep and people start to gloss over it. But you do things with numbers, which are pretty fantastic. So I would recommend, and I'm dead serious, I would recommend anybody that's going through a credit crunch, or obviously the loan stuff, a house, a refi, but also stuff like student loans, things like that, but divorce questions, people get wrapped up. Anything you're feeling emotional or wrought about, call David. Your love life.
I give great love advice, you know, because I'm just so successful at it. Well, here, I got another example. A gentleman called me. He lives in Woodstock. He owes $212,000 on his home. His home has come back from being worth $180,000. It was worth $300,000 at one time. It's now back to being $215,000, $220,000. He has no equity in his home right now. He's got $25,000, $30,000 worth of credit card debt that's costing him anywhere between $800 to $1,200 a month.
He's underwater.
Well, he's just barely scratching through. He's going to go to First Midwest Bank, secure what's called a express home improvement loan.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take out about $25,000, pay off $25,000 worth of debt that's costing him about $1,000 a month. His payment will be roughly a car payment, so about $380. Okay, so he's up $620 savings. He's going to use that $620 to pay off his credit faster and get into a much better position. So we have access to programs that your general listener wouldn't have access to.
Makes
to
total get sense. Them.
He called me to refinance. We couldn't refinance him, but hey, you could go to this, you know, our team at First Midwest Bank, open up this loan. You're going to be saving over $600.
Yeah, and I'd say I worked with the First Midwest people. They're great.
Yeah,
they're
well,
great.
That's where we sent you for your, what you needed. So
yeah, the money laundering.
Yeah.
No, 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 I'm kidding.
I don't need to go back to federal court, please.
David Hochberg, how do we get a hold of you?
Very simple, number of different ways. 312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could also go to WGNDavid.com, submit your questions, apply online, and submit your question of the week. And if we use it, we'll make a podcast of it or a video cast of it, whatever it's called. Ross is here shaking his head. We'll make a video of it and put it on our website as well so you could see it in person.
Thanks for being delightful.
Oh, thank you. I'm working on it.
All right. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.